Today I would like to comment the epistle of today's Mass on the virtue of charity. St. Paul is emphasizing to the Corinthians that charity is the most important virtue, for the Corinthians have been deceived into thinking that the gift of tongues is the most important of all the qualities and gifts. And St. Paul is disabusing them of this notion. By charity here, St. Paul is referring to the love of God for his own sake, and of love of neighbor for God's sake. His first point is that charity is the one necessary virtue, and if we were to have everything else, we would still not have what it takes to gain eternal salvation. And so he goes through all of the examples. Even if he handed over his body to be burned and he didn't have charity, it availeth nothing. St. Paul even says that if we should sacrifice our lives, but for the wrong motive, that is, without supernatural charity, it contributes nothing to our eternal salvation. This is a truth that is very important today, because even if people should be in certain ways charitable, that is, if they should do good to others, but they do not do it for the sake of the love of God, that charity is worth nothing. If they do not have friendship with God, when they perform those works of charity, that charity is worth nothing, even if they should spend their whole lives doing it. From this preliminary exhortation, we should learn that we should not be so naive as to place the hope of our eternal salvation in some particular good quality or qualities we might have. So you should not expect to go to heaven if you have been impure, but you have been good to other people. If you are in the state of mortal sin, and you persevere in the state of mortal sin, no matter what other good you do, you will go to hell. And none of the good that you have done will in any way contribute to taking away the sentence of hell from you. If you die with enmity, in a state of enmity with God, you will go to hell, no matter what other qualities or goodness or anything else you have performed in this life. St. Paul next describes the exalted nature of charity. He says charity is the queen of the virtues, since it makes men do good things which by nature they are not inclined to do. Charity is to will for your neighbor the very good that you will for yourself. And so you see the difference between justice and charity. Justice merely wills and accomplishes for your neighbor what is his due, what is his strict due, and no more and no less. But charity is to will for somebody and to accomplish for somebody the very good that you would want for yourself. And so you see that charity goes far beyond justice in the rendering of good. Charity is a friendship with God, and therefore causes a union of the soul with God, and therefore seeks to transform the human soul into God in a moral sense. Love is transforming. And when we love something that is greater than ourselves, more perfect,
we are transformed by the love that we have because we seek to be like it, whatever it should be. Those who love dirty things become themselves dirty. Their minds, their whole beings wallow in filth. And those who love virtue, those who love high things, become themselves virtuous and high. You become what you love. And when you love God, by the grace of God, you become like God. Charity is therefore lost by mortal sin, since mortal sin destroys our friendship with God. Now we might say, how does one mortal sin destroy all that? And the reason is that charity is not a natural virtue, it is a supernatural virtue. It is like the light that in your home. It is either on or off. And just as it is acquired by a single act, because God infuses it in you, it is lost by a single act. By a single act of ruining the friendship, cutting off the friendship by means of an act which is against His law. So it is either on or off. There are not degrees in that sense. Charity envieth not. That is, it is not saddened by the good fortune of others, but rather rejoices in it as if it were happening to yourself. For fraternal charity unites us to our neighbor so that we rejoice at his good and sorrow at his evil. As if it were happening to us. That's the perfection of charity. It does not envy the accomplishments of others, but rather rejoices as much in what other people do, which is good, as if you yourself did it. That is charity. And you see what a beautiful virtue it is. Charity dealeth not perversely. That means charity is not ostentatious, does not put on airs, it is not puffed up, but is always humble and modest in its operations. Charity is not ambitious. It does not seek honors and places of power beyond what is reasonable and in accordance with the common good. There is such a thing as a good ambition. People should have a certain ambition to do good and to be good at what they do. But ambition in the bad sense is to seek honors beyond what is due to you, beyond your ability and your merits. And charity is not that. Charity is not provoked to anger. This means that charity overcomes the most natural inclination in us to strike back at those who injure us. Look at the animals. When they are threatened or injured, how their animal nature is to strike back. And charity overcomes this movement of anger in us that is so basic to our animal nature. But charity is stronger than that. It does not contemplate any evil in return, but is inclined to think of the evil which has been inflicted as unintentional. It forgives it and forgets it. Charity rejoiceth not at iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. Charity does not take glee in seeing evil come to an enemy, except if it is a means of stopping his sin. But rather, charity delights in the conversion of one's enemy to good. Truth here means the truth of life, that is, the moral uprightness of a good life. Like God, charity does not seek the death of the sinner, but rather his conversion. Charity beareth all things. That is, it refuses no service which God or neighbor should ask of it. If it pertains to the glory of God, if it pertains to the good of our neighbor, charity will do it. And the stronger our charity, the greater our inclination to accomplish these things. Another interpretation of this particular verse is that charity conceals the faults of one's neighbor and does not talk about them or advertise them, as in the case of gossip. Charity believeth all things, it presumes that our neighbor is telling the truth. Presumes, unless fact says otherwise, and will only believe the opposite if there is prudent evidence. Therefore, charity is not suspicious and does not rash judge. Charity hopeth all things, that is, will never lose hope in the conversion of one's neighbor. Charity endureth all things, that is, will put up with any injuries which an enemy may inflict, and this in order to bring them to God. St. Paul speaks also about the excellence of charity. He says that charity is the most important of all of the virtues, since it is what animates all of them. Just as your body has a soul, or a plant has a soul, or an animal has a soul by which it breathes and moves, so also what animates all of the virtues is the virtue of charity. It is, in a sense, the electricity of all of the other virtues. It's the power, it's the fire in all of the other virtues. We are patient, therefore, because we love God. We forgive injuries because we love God. We pray because we love God. And we are diligent in our duties because we love God. That's charity. Love of God is the soul of the entire spiritual life. It is the vine and the particular virtues which we have, and the good acts which we perform are merely branches of this supernatural vine. So if you think of a grapevine, where you have the main vine and then the little branches that come off of it with the first the flowers and then the fruit, which turns into the grapes. So also all of these virtues are coming off the vine of charity. And so if that gets cut, those virtues are worth nothing because they are not animated by the vine of charity. And St. Paul finishes by enumerating the three theological virtues. Faith is that virtue by which we believe what God says. Hope is that virtue by which we have confidence in what God promises. And charity is that virtue whereby we love God above all things, and our neighbor for God's sake. When we see God in heaven, faith will pass away, for there is no longer reason to believe when we now see. And when we possess God in heaven, hope will pass away, for we do not hope for something that we already have. But when you possess God in heaven, charity will remain and indeed will find its glory and its triumph. It will find its coronation. Since it is by the love of God that we are united to Him in friendship. And so heaven is one perpetual act of the love of God. And it is this possession, this sight of God, which pleases us eternally. But charity in this life cannot exist without faith. And it is the modern error that you can have a charity without faith. There is no charity without the virtue of faith in this life. So may your Lent be an increase of charity. Where you have neglected your prayers, now be diligent in them. And where you have been impure, now be chaste. And where you have been impatient, now be patient. And where you have been moved to revenge, now forgive those who have injured you. And where you have gossiped, now keep your mouth shut. And where you have been cold to other people's miseries, now be sensitive to them. And where you have been vain, now be humble. Where you have lied, so now tell the truth. And where you have dishonored God by self-love, by selfishness, by loving yourself more than you love Him, now honor Him by the virtue of charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.